We've been talking about spiritual warfare, and I want to continue doing that today. The title of this teaching is Christian Worldview. You know, I've been saying I think that there are three important concepts in spiritual warfare, and they're not necessarily obvious concepts. The first one is that if we're going to be effective in spiritual warfare, we need to know who we are in Jesus, and we need to know what it means to be in Jesus and to have Jesus living his life through us. The second concept is that Jesus has already won the victory, that and he has invited us to sit with him in that place of victory. We start from a place of victory. We're not trying to get to a place of victory. So that's the second important thing. The third important thing is what we're going to talk about today, and that is that spiritual warfare happens mostly in our minds. I don't mean that it's imaginary and not real. I mean that it's the battleground is our thinking, is our mind. That's where the devil attacks. That's where we win or lose against the enemy. Our minds include our intellect, includes our emotions. And because our mind is where spiritual warfare takes place, it's vitally important that our mind is healthy and that we're healthy emotionally and that we have a healthy worldview that lines up with the truth. That means that our worldview matches God's worldview and that we actually are walking in the truth that we have. So let's dive into this concept of worldview, okay? Some say you are what you eat. Others say, well, you are what you wear. I think it'd be more accurate to say that we are what we think. Dallas Willard, a famous theologian, Christian writer, said that we live at the mercy of our ideas. Think about that a minute. We live at the mercy of our ideas. Spiritual warfare begins in a place you might not expect. It begins in your mind, in your worldview, how you see the world around you, how you see the reality of the physical and spiritual world. Do you have the mind of Christ, or do you have a mind that's turned to the world? Do you have a mind that is after the spirit, or do you have a mind that's after the flesh? Do you have a mind that's seated with Jesus in heavenly places, far above the fray, or is your mind all tangled up down in the weeds and cares of this world? Your mindset is going to determine your effectiveness in spiritual warfare. And there are actually spiritual warfares that we can pray. Yes, I know that. We can go on the offensive. But that's not what we're talking about here today, because actually most of the time, you won't have to pray any of those spiritual warfare prayers if your mindset, your worldview, lines up with God's truth. And I'm going to show you how that works this morning. We all have a worldview of some kind, right? When we're born, our worldview is pretty simplistic. You know, a baby, their worldview is hunger, taste, discomfort, comfort, that's about it. Watch a newborn or a new baby. When you give them something new, what do? They take it in their hand, they turn it over, they look at it to see what it is, and then what's the very next thing that they do? They put it in their mouth, right? They want, is it hard? Is it soft? Is it sweet? Is it like mommy's milk? I mean, this is how they sense the world around them, is what they see and what they feel in their mouths. They're beginning to build their worldview, and they're learning what the world is around them and how does it work. Sometimes our worldview is limited, just like that baby, by our experience or by our beliefs. And it'd be like me walking around with a wide-brimmed hat on, right? And I can't see above the brim of that hat, so I don't know that there's anything above me. Debbie took a biology class in college, and her biology textbook had a very limited worldview. The authors of that biology textbook, I think, were wearing a wide-brimmed hat because they refused to look at anything other than the world that they could see, you know, from underneath their hat, and they refused to look up. Rather than exploring every possibility to see what the world might be like, they decided to exclude a priori anything that was not physical. A priori, that's a good word. It means a presumptive truth, a foundational assumption that doesn't have to be proved, or something that can only be deduced. There's no way to prove it, like life after death. Is there life after death? Whatever your decision is, it's an a priori decision about that. Well, their a priori statement about God was that there is no God. There can be no God. Now, when scientists say that there can be no God or no supernatural realm, their a priori assumption is that of course there can be no God. I mean, to them, it's like it doesn't even have to be proved. You don't have to think about it. Of course that's the way it is. But of course, they're wrong. You know, their worldview just won't allow that there's a God. They've got this wide-brimmed hat on, and when they look up, they say, I see no sky, therefore there must be no sky. Well, you can't see the sky because you got this wide-brimmed hat on. You got this a priori decision on that says there can't be a God. But, of course, it's wrong. How many times does our limited worldview hinder us in the Spirit? The Holy Spirit tries to tell us something, and we just don't understand it. Let me tell you a story about a Wycliffe translator. I heard that she had gone into, I can't remember where it was, but it was very, very remote. These people had no language, and of course the idea is she spends a year learning their language, and then she creates a written language, then she begins to translate that into the Bible. After her first year there, she went home. She came back, and when she came back after a few weeks at home, she brought with her, among other things, some cans of tuna fish. Now, these people, their worldview had no concept of the possibility of a canning factory, right? And so when she showed them tuna fish, they said, next time you come, bring back more tuna nuts. To them, a nut was something that was hard on the outside and had good stuff on the inside. That was the only thing they could think of to call it. It was a tuna nut. How many times does the Holy Spirit tell us about a can of tuna and we can't even imagine such a thing? It's a tuna nut. You know, the Holy Spirit tells us to look at angels and demons around us and we say, I don't see anything. You know, we got our hats pulled down too far. We're talking about how babies develop their worldview. You know, babies and toddlers seem to be able to see in the spirit world. They see demons, they see angels. And when they tell an adult what they've seen, the adult tells them, oh, that's just your imagination. And then this happens enough times that eventually the kid decides, well, maybe demons and angels don't really exist. It's not part of my worldview. And so all of a sudden they don't have that spirituality. They pull their hat down, the brim of their hat down. You know, their worldview all of a sudden doesn't include those things anymore. It consists only of what they can sense with their five senses. And so they develop a worldview that's really not correct. It's not complete. That's us. Jesus tells us that we can tell a mountain to jump into the ocean and it will obey us. And what do? We look around and go, nah, stuff like that doesn't happen. And it sure wouldn't happen to me. My prayer today is this. Lord, open our eyes so that we can see the truth of the world around us, so that we can believe the scriptures that say, if we pray, God will do more than we can think or imagine. That we'll believe the scriptures that tell us that if we have faith, we can tell a mountain to jump into the ocean and it will obey us. That we can experience, Lord, the depth, breadth, and that we can be filled up to overflowing with Jesus himself. That's my prayer. I want all of us to experience that. So let's dive into this concept of worldview. I want to give you some examples of how our wrong thinking can affect our spiritual worldview, and then that affects our spiritual warfare. Turn to Daniel 10. Daniel 10, verses 12 and 13. Daniel prayed for 21 days about the end times. The angel finally shows up to tell Daniel about the end times, and we pick up this story here in verse 12, where the angel said to me, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before the Lord, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words." When you pray, the very first word that you pray is heard, and God begins to respond immediately. So what happened? Verse 13, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia," the angel says, "was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael the archangel came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia." Now, when he's talking about the prince of Persia and the kings of Persia, he's not talking about men. He's talking about demonic forces. He's talking about evil forces. The answer was sent right away. These evil forces were stopping the angel from delivering that answer. Matter of fact, stopped him for 21 days. So this is what happens. Many times when we pray about something, and when we don't immediately get the answer that we expect, then we start thinking, our wrong worldview starts thinking, well, maybe God didn't hear me. Or maybe there's sin in my life, and so he doesn't want to listen to me. Or maybe he doesn't love me. Or maybe I'm not good enough. Or maybe there's something wrong with me, or something wrong with the way that I'm praying. And of course, none of that's true. What happened was God heard us and he responded immediately, but the answer got hung up by spiritual warfare and the enemy had temporarily blocked our answer. And because we had the wrong mindset, the wrong worldview, instead of continuing to pray in faith, what we did was we just gave up. And so the devil stopped our answer and we didn't know why. You see how our worldview, how we see reality around us, affects our spiritual warfare? If your worldview is that God is reluctant to hear you and answer your prayers, then your mind is not going to do the spiritual warfare that might be needed for your answer. But if you know that you're the apple of God's eye, if you know that he delights in hearing you and answering your prayer, if you know that you're operating from a place of complete victory, if you know that you have already been approved by God because you're in Jesus and Jesus is in you, if you know these things, then you don't quit praying and believing and thanking God. You just keep on laboring in prayer, and that gives your angels the power that they need in the Spirit to overcome the enemy. You see why your mindset, your worldview, the reality of who you really are, do you see how your thinking is actually the foundation for spiritual warfare? Turn to Ephesians 4, and we're going to look at this from the other side. Ephesians 4, we're going to look at verses 17 through 19. What Paul is doing here is he's contrasting a worldly worldview with a spiritual worldview. And he starts off with the worldly worldview in verses 17 through 19. And as usual, I want to encourage you, write down every scripture so you can go back over it in the following days and study it. Let the Lord reveal things to you from his word. Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 19. "So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, their minds being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance," because their worldview is not complete. They have been excluded from the life of God "because of the hardness of their heart. And they having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness." Paul says that these Gentiles rely on what's in their minds, and Paul says that what's in their minds is futility that has darkened their understanding. They have been excluded from the blessings of God, and it actually puts them in bondage to sin in their flesh, and they actually want to be driven by these impurities and bad thoughts. I sometimes am driven by wrong thoughts, but I don't want to be that way. But these want to be that way, and that brings them into darkness because of their ignorance because their worldview is incomplete. Now, in contrast to the Gentiles, we have a different worldview because our minds have been renewed. Our minds are actually being morphed into the mind of Jesus. And so if we go down to Ephesians 4, verse 23, verses 23 and 24, and that you might be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Our renewed mind has been created in righteousness and holiness, not by us, but by God. Stop thinking of yourself as an old sinner who just sins all the time. What a self-centered attitude that is. Your mind is being recreated by the righteousness and holiness of God Himself. Your worldview is not looking out the bars of the dungeon, debtor's dungeon, debtor's prison. Your worldview is you're looking out the big window from the castle in heaven where you are. Remember where you are. You're in the room of the prince or the princess. You're in the tall tower of the kingdom of God. And in this palatial grand room where you actually live, there's never any condemnation. There's never a reminder of the stupid decisions that you've made or the sins that you've committed. There's never any lack of God's grace. There's never any lack of His favor or blessings. And in this room with you is Jesus. He's there all the time. He wants to be there. He loves being there with you. He looks forward to working with you in His kingdom every day. And from this vantage point, high in the heavenlies, when the devil attacks, you see him for what he is. He's a defeated foe that has no real power. All he's got's a big mouth. All he can do is lie to you and try to fool you and trick you into you giving to him some of the blessing, some of the health, some of the provision that's already yours. That's the picture that this scripture paints. But too many Christians just can't see themselves that way. They see themselves as clothed in raggedy, dirty clothes. They're living in Kibera. They're living in squalor. They're living in a place where bandits and thieves rule the day. They expect the devil to be able to walk into their house anytime he wants to and take whatever he wants, and they feel that they're powerless to stop him. If that's you, if that's how you see yourself, then keep listening and let God begin to renew and change your mind. Let your loving Savior change your worldview to match His view from the heavenlies. Today, when we celebrate together the Lord's Supper, many of you are going to be delivered from this demonic worldview that you've been carrying around. Let's read Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 again real quick. Then in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Deceit. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in God has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. We're going to look at verses 3 through 5. Remember, we're looking at examples of how our wrong worldview makes us ineffective in spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. So he's talking about our spiritual weapons, right? These weapons that aren't of the flesh, weapons that we have. And the next verse is going to tell us what these weapons do. What is it going to be? Is it going to be that we can blow up the gates of hell with these weapons? How about we can turn demons into little lambs or cute little bunnies maybe? Or we can cause fiery angels to gather in their chariots and circle around us. Yep, that's what those weapons are going to do, I'm sure. Okay, let's see what it says. Verse 5. These weapons, they are destroying speculations and every lofty thought raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What these weapons, these powerful spiritual weapons are, is for our thinking, our worldview. It's for destroying speculations. That's thoughts that are in opposition to God's truth. It's for pulling down lofty thoughts that aren't according to God's truth. It's for taking captive any thought that's not obedient to Jesus. Do you get the picture that these weapons are about our thoughts, right? That they are about what's going on in your mind? These weapons are designed to shape our worldview so that our healthy minds and our healthy emotions will stay in the heavenlies, so that the enemy will never have a chance to fool who we are in Jesus. And we know that the devil is a defeated foe, and that we're walking in the truth of God that the devil just can't tear down. We may have to live in this fleshly body, but we don't have to allow our minds to be held captive by worldly, fleshly ideas and thinking. Our warfare happens on a spiritual level, but our warfare happens in our minds, and that is why it's so important that we have the mind of Jesus. And I want to look at some scriptures about having the mind of Jesus, okay? I'm always amazed at how false doctrines always contain a kernel of truth. You know, Eastern mysticism, yoga, Buddhism, many of those religions teach that the ultimate goal is to become one with the light, become one with the essence of God himself, to lose your identity in the light, and to merge your consciousness with the consciousness of the universe. That's their lofty thinking. And you know, it's like down on the inside, they have a longing to be one with God, and to be in God, and for God to be in them. But they're trying to do it on their own. They're trying to do it through religion and good works. They don't know that this is exactly what happens when we come to know Jesus as our personal Savior. We literally become one with the God of the universe. And He comes to live inside of us. Not through our works and through our goodness, or through our religion, but He does it entirely by His grace. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, and we're going to look at verse 16. Paul he asks a question first about who has known the mind of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 2:16, and who can instruct the Lord. But then he makes this incredible statement. He says, but we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of the Messiah. We have the mind of the Anointed One. We have the mind of Jesus because we are in Jesus, and He is living His life through us. This is not like being brainwashed. Some of you may not be old enough to remember what happened with Jim Jones in Jonestown in Guyana. It was a cult. Those people were brainwashed, okay? And over 900 people drank the poison Kool-Aid and died. What happened was their mind had been melded with the mind of Jim Jones, and when Jim Jones decided it was time to commit suicide, that's what happened to all of them. Well, that's not what this scripture says exactly. It doesn't say that I can now have similar thoughts to Jesus, or that I can become heavenly minded sort of like Jesus is. I think it says that I'm seated with Jesus in heavenly places, and that I literally share His mind, that I share His thoughts, I share His emotions, I share His intellect, His wisdom, His knowledge. I share His wisdom, His knowledge, His intellect, His thoughts, His emotions. I share those things. I share His worldview. But I have to keep my mind in the heavenlies to maintain this worldview. If I put my mind on this world and its cares, then I start losing His worldview. My mind quits morphing into the mind of Christ, and it begins to devolve into the mind of a godless human, a Gentile. And I don't want that. Turn to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 10. Romans 8, 6 through 10. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. It is not even able to subject itself to the law of God. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you're not in the flesh. You're in the spirit. That is, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Then he goes on to say, if the Spirit of Jesus doesn't live in you, then you don't belong to him. Well, of course he lives in us because we've been saved, right? If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. The mindset on the flesh cannot please God. Our mind operates in the Spirit because we are in Jesus. That is, if we stay in Jesus, stay in that place. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4. I told you we had lots of scriptures, right? 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The God of this world is able to blind the minds of worldly people. How many times does the God of this world blind our minds, we Christians, because our minds are not in Jesus, because our minds have not yet been transformed or morphed into the mind of Jesus, and we still have our minds on the world. Romans 2, or our minds on the flesh. No, Romans 12, I'm sorry. Romans 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12 and 2. So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The words there really indicate more their minds are being morphed into the mind of Jesus. They are becoming literally the mind of Jesus. When we set our minds on the world all the time, then we short circuit this morphing process and we stop our mind from becoming the mind of Jesus. Let me give you one last example out of the Bible, out of the New Testament. Turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, we're going to look at verses 22 and 23. When you read this again later, read the whole story. We're just going to pick it up in the middle of the story. This is where Jesus tells the disciples that he's got to be killed by the high priest. He's got to be raised up. He's going to be raised up on the third day, these sort of things. And the disciples don't understand it and don't like it. And so in verse 22, Matthew 16, 22, we read that Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus, saying, God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you. And look at Jesus' response to Peter. He turns to Peter and he says, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but on man's. I'll bet this was like a slap in the face to Peter. Why did Jesus do this? He wanted to shock Peter out of his fleshly, worldly mindset. Peter's fleshly mindset was actually causing a stumbling block for Jesus. It was tempting Jesus to fall into a worldly mindset himself. But Jesus knew where this was coming from. Jesus knew we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against powers and authorities and evil spirits. Peter was not the enemy here, but Peter was allowing his mind to be used by the enemy. Why was the enemy able to use Peter in this way? Well, because Peter's mind was on the things of the world, not on the things of the Spirit. So, in conclusion, what can we say? When our minds, our emotions, our intellect are healthy and we have the mind of Jesus, then spiritual warfare is almost a trivial thing. When our mind is seated with Jesus in the heavenlies and our perspective is from that lofty vantage point, high above all dominion, high above all authorities, all powers, all names, then it's nearly impossible for our enemy, the devil, to gain an advantage over us. When our minds are rooted and grounded in the truth of Almighty God, the devil just can't trick us or deceive us and bring us into his captivity. And so this is what I pray. Lord, I'm turning my mind away from the flesh and this world, so that my mind can be morphed literally into the mind of Jesus, so that through Jesus, I can be a powerful warrior in spiritual warfare. Amen.